And joining me in the KRVS studios by telephone are Damon Gardner and Anthony Vacris. Damon is joining us from New Orleans and Anthony in Birmingham, Alabama. They're both speaking with us to talk about a new book that they have been a part of. It's a project called Love Letters from New Orleans, and it's a beautiful book. I got my copy a few days ago and have just been really enjoying going through the pages and reading the words of this book. Now, Anthony, you were the writer for this project and Damon, the photographer. Tell us just a bit about your backgrounds so we can understand, because it's a very interesting book, a very, very original, unique book about New Orleans. So, Anthony, maybe start off as the writer. Where are you coming from?
Okay. Literally coming from Connecticut before going to LSU for college. Mm-hmm. So I have a really good outsider's perspective, which I think gives me a unique viewpoint of the city, because I'm part resident, part, you know, tourist when it comes to my history. After LSU, I remained in the Southeast and eventually moved back to Louisiana to move to Kenner in New Orleans for about 6 months until Katrina hit and knocked me back to Birmingham, where I currently am. But the 4.5-5 years at LSU, as well as countless trips with friends and family to the city, have really allowed me to get into the inner workings of the city and the hidden gems that you find that not everybody knows about. And that's kind of the perspective I have, is kind of both tourist and resident.
Well, what originally drew you to the South to come to Louisiana for LSU? What drew you to that university?
I wanted a culture shock, honestly. I wanted a culture change from coming from the Northeast. And I had a cousin who had gone to LSU and invited me down. And it took about 24 hours to sell me on the whole thing. Spent a night in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, and the entire flavor of the area just draws you right in, and I was hooked.
Wow, so really falling in love with the area.
Absolutely.
Now, did you study writing? Well, what's your background in writing?
Background is an advertising major, mm-hmm. and then I went on to the Creative Circuits in Atlanta Portfolio School for 2 years, and have been in advertising as a freelance writer for 12 years now.
All right. Well, Damon, you're the photographer for this project, this book, beautiful book. How long have you been taking photographs?
Oh, I've been shooting professionally now for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And are you from Louisiana?
Yes, I was born in Baton Rouge and grew up there. Lived in Brussels, Belgium for 5 years as a kid, and then came back and finished high school in Baton Rouge, went to LSU, where I also studied advertising, and also studied photography there. And then I went on to the Creative Circus as well. And it's a portfolio school in Atlanta. Studied photography there and then moved to New Orleans after I finished that program.
So have the two of you been knowing each other for a while and working together on projects?
We did not actually meet each other until this project. So Anthony was at the Creative Circus before I was. I'm not sure, Anthony, when you were there, but it was a few years before me. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm older. No, I finished up and started my professional career in 1999. So about 12, mm-hmm. 13 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to remind people we're talking about a new book called Love Letters from New Orleans. My two guests by telephone, Damon Gardner and Anthony Vacris, are part of this project, along with Nessim Hickson. And since he is not on this call, maybe you could tell us a bit about his background.
Yeah, I could. I've worked with him for over 10 years now. He went to school at Loyola and studied design and communications, I believe, in their program, and then moved to Birmingham and worked at a place called Health South and was in their internal communications, not really loving it at all, and wanted to get into advertising. And him and I met in 2002. I believe it was, at Lewis Communications in Birmingham. And we were partnered on a lot of projects and really found just a spark, you know, connection between us, and have been working together on projects ever since, even though I've moved, you know, to Atlanta, Jackson, Mississippi. He moved to Los Angeles and then to Amsterdam. I was in New Orleans, back to Birmingham, to Los Angeles, and we've kind of been crossing each other's paths for over a decade and making some of the best work that I have in my portfolio.
Well, you all seem to be united, even though you come from different places and have obviously traveled in your professional careers and lived in different cities. You all seem, the three of you, united, and I'm sure all the other people who've worked on this project, you seem united in your passion for New Orleans. Is that how this book came about? Were you just sitting around one day and just talking about how much you love the city? Or how did this project come about?
Yeah, I'll take that. Actually, I met Ness back in 2008 and met him through, at the time I was assisting a New Orleans photographer, Lee Trum, just a really excellent photographer from the area. And Ness was friends with Lee, and he kind of made the introduction. And at some point in 2009, Ness had approached me with the idea of this project. And it kind of started off really as he and I were talking about doing a promotional piece for the two of us and kind of doing this oversized newspaper print that we would leave for free around the city in different coffee shops and places like that. And kind of early on, we decided to bring Anthony in. And as it developed, I mean, the project took about 3.5 years because it really is personal work. And any time one of us had some kind of paid job come up, it took a back seat. So it took a long time. And as we started working on it, we realized that this really needed to be more than an oversized newspaper piece and become a book.
What were these oversized newspaper pieces like for those of us who didn't happen to encounter them in coffee shops in New Orleans? What did they look like?
Well, we were looking at doing something that was going to be kind of legal size in nature, and it was going to be black and white and just printed on newspaper stock paper. So something affordable that we could do and keep it free for people in New Orleans. But you know, like I said, when we brought Anthony in and we really started working on this, it became so much work, and we decided that we wanted to add some color to it and take it to a different level.
Mm-hmm. Did some of those pieces become collector's items, the ones you left around in coffee shops?
Well, we never produced the newspaper.
Oh,
that was the original idea when we started. And as we concepted and got Anthony, he's writing haikus and I'm doing the photography, and Ness is laying it out in design. Before we ever went to print, we had decided it needed to become a book.
At one point, we did send it to Good Magazine, which I think is on the West Coast, and they featured some spreads. And we actually had a bunch of our own print-ups that we saddle-stitched and stapled together. And the more and more we worked on it, the more the paper didn't feel right, the colors didn't feel right. And so it was like, this needs to come to a bigger life. And that's kind of where it was like, well, what about a book? That was it.
I'm sorry, go on.
Oh, back to your original question. It definitely, what connected the three of us and united us was a love for New Orleans. And I think coming from different places, I mean, I grew up in Baton Rouge and did not know a lot about New Orleans. I've been here now for 6 years and quickly fell in love with the city, especially after Atlanta, where it's just completely a different contrast in culture. It's just New Orleans is so rich and vibrant. And I also, in my career, I shoot people, do portraits. And so the city of New Orleans has so much to offer with the people here and the characters. But it was, all three of us loved the city, and that definitely drove the project. I would say at certain points we were all, at each other's throats. In terms of concepting things that we agreed on or didn't agree on. So,
well, I'm sure as in any good project, when you have passionate, creative people, that it gets to that point at some juncture. One of the things I find fascinating about this book, and again, we're talking about Love Letters from New Orleans, a new book created by my guests, Damon Gardner and Anthony Vacris, who are with me by telephone, and their partner, Nessim Hickson. Is how untraditional this love letter is. You know, obviously you can go into any bookstore in Louisiana and particularly in New Orleans and find a plethora of passionate celebrations of New Orleans. And this is nothing like anything I've ever seen in those on those shelves. Do you think that has to do with your background in advertising, the generation you're from? What really guided this very unique presentation of your passion for New Orleans?
I think one thing that we sat down as a collective group, and we had a lot of meetings along the way and phone calls and emails, and one of the things we thought about is, because we're in advertising and because we do so many things where we're trained to break through the clutter, we really put it on ourselves to not create anything that was ever done before. Mm. And when it came to the writing in particular, the first thing I said to Ness and Damon was, I don't want to write a tourist book. Mm. There's so many of them, and anything you write beyond a haiku or even just one sentence, you're becoming a tourist book, because now you have to explain instead of inviting people to discover. And so the big thing for this book is it becomes a discovery piece in which you almost use it like a tour guide. You know, what haven't I done in this city? What souvenir haven't I collected? What experience do I not have? And so not only is it a page turner physically with the haiku, it's almost like a guidebook. Instead of, hey, go see the Cafe du Monde beignet store at, you know, the corner of, yeah, it mm-hmm. couldn't be that. It wasn't going to be. There was no way we were going to let that happen.
Right. Well, let me ask you about that haiku, because I have to say, when I received the book, I had not been told in any emails before that's what the text was, haiku. And it took me a few times. I was looking through the book and I kept going through the pages and wondering about the phrases and how, and then it hit me. And I started counting syllables, and it was haiku, mm-hmm. of course, haiku. Is that a form that you've practiced for a long time?
Yeah. The haiku? Well, I think as an advertising writer, you are trained constantly to have an economy of words.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's, can you make that tagline, you know, for that big, big, big company? Can you boil it down to two words? Can you boil it down to one word? And so you're trained to do that for years and years and years.
Right.
And when you get to the point of writing, you know, your writing is done by editing, not by writing. Does that make sense? It's what you take out mm-hmm. that makes the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more and more I did that, and the more conversations we all had, it felt very easy to get to the next spread or the next photograph if you didn't junk it up with a lot of words. And it lets the reader fill in all the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of became a puzzle. And that's kind of where it lived, and we were all happy with that. And I love the practice and the discipline of, you know, cutting down the words.
Mm-hmm.
So, just like movies are made on the cutting room floor,
right.
Is that what they say?
Well, I think John Cage has something about that too, about the spaces and the what's not there, what's taken out. But what that did to me, when it's a very contemporary looking book, and as soon as that piece in the puzzle fell into place, it became incredibly poetic to me at that moment when I realized what you were doing with the text, and it felt suddenly had this amazing shape to it, in addition to just the visual, the stunning visuals of it. So I want to tell people who may be tuning in right now, we're talking about Love Letters from New Orleans, a new book that's just been published. My guests, Damon Gardner and Anthony Vacaris, worked on the project with Nessim Hickson. Damon is the photographer. Anthony Vacaris is the writer and created these haiku for, and I guess we need to say that Love Letters doesn't mean, you know, Dear New Orleans so formally, but you're actually going through the alphabet. And where did you come up with that idea?
Damon, you want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, that was, like I say, whenever I met Ness, whenever he approached me with the project, he had already had that in his mind as wanting to do an alphabet project about New Orleans. And I think whenever he, you know, originally had talked about the idea, we weren't sure if it was going to be this just complete, honest reflection of New Orleans and not necessarily all a celebration, but we had talked about using Innis or neglect and some other things like that. And at some point we decided that we just really wanted to celebrate the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that basically you're looking at 26 ads or spreads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also, you know, due to the background for the three of us, I think, and in advertising. We have a copywriter, photographer, and designer working to build a spread for each letter.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's also that whole idea of an ABC-darium, using your skills to create the ABCs is a very common thing among illustrators, and you see some absolutely gorgeous ones that don't always get to the public as widely as they should. But it's a lovely way, a lovely structure to create something on using the ABCs. And so how did you go about doing these photographs and choosing your images, Damon? There are, as you say, not the typical images always that we would see of New Orleans. And of course, you're trying to create those letters as well. But what guided you in the photographs you took?
Right. Some of the photography was already existing photography that I had shot on just either personal work or previous assignments. And those were the spreads that we initially looked at. J is for Jazz, for example. Mm-hmm. The portraits in that spread are of members of the Hot 8 Brass Band, a pretty popular band here in New Orleans. And I had shot some material for them in 2007 or 2008. So we kind of started with that, and Ness had played around with the design, and we realized early on that whenever we did shoot the photography for the spread, Ness was really going to be playful with how we worked in the copy and the letters into the spread. So whenever we did things like G is for Gumbo, we built that letter G into the rice of the gumbo on the spread. And a lot of it was done in camera, not in post-work, in Photoshop. Some of those things that we kind of tip our hats to and you know, reveal the letter in a subtle way. Anthony, you got anything on that?
No, I think going back to the original question of letters, it was an easy solve. The first thing that Ness had sent me, I think, was a photo of the roach. the spread was already done, R is 4. And I was like, I instantly picked up on the alphabet. I get it. And then I thought, well, if it's going to be a letter, then let's not overwhelm people with writing and copy, because a letter is supposed to be, you know, short, sweet, to the point. And so I just wrote, you know, time your steps wisely as a joke. And it kind of worked out like, well, that's a real good message people should know when they come visit. And then it became, well, if people come visit, what do they need to get when they get here? Well, all these experiences. So it kind of evolved out of the photography and the original design when they brought me in. I just thought, well, this needs some writing to it.
Right. And the that roach was found in my shed in my backyard. So it was already like that. We did not harm any roaches
in the
process of creating this book.
Yeah, that page is really wonderful, and it's going to anyone from Louisiana, New Orleans, when they see that picture, will respond viscerally to it. It's an incredibly dramatic spread there. In addition to this R, the roach, Damon, do you have a particular favorite among the spreads?
I'm definitely drawn to the spreads that highlight people. I mean, like I said, mm-hmm. I love meeting people, and I love photographing people. So when you look at S is for Street Crier, mm-hmm. who we went and we photographed Mr. Okra, who is he's a vendor in town. He drives around in his truck, and he's got a PA system where he calls out the produce and vegetables that he has. And that, you know, just remembering it, looking back on it, I mean, it was just an experience that Ness and I went out to his house in the 7th Ward and got to meet with him and hang out with him for a bit. So, yeah, I definitely am drawn to those spreads that are about people.
That is
and
a lovely spread.
I think it's important, too, that to point out that we had decided early on not to use any specific brand name mm-hmm. or location. So that kind of, you know, made it difficult in coming up with some concepts. But so we didn't have, you know, M is for Mr. Okra. It was S is for Street Crier, which was a term that we found out was popular in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That is an interesting thing that you point out, that there are no recognizable brands, which is another unusual thing about books on New Orleans. And this gives it a kind of a timeless quality. Were you going for that as well?
I would say timeless is the key word of the entire project, because mm-hmm. it took us 3.5 years. We really didn't know when we'd finish or if we even cared to finish. It was just an enjoyment of working with each other mm-hmm. and the creative process. And, you know, if you had put a C is for Café Du Mans or something like that, then you are going to, you're going to kind of date yourself. And so timeless is kind of what we were going for overall, because we want someone generations from now to say, wow, roaches are still a big deal, or the street crier is still a tradition. Mm-hmm. And so traditions never change. But, and New Orleans, kind of to its detriment and beauty, is it's stuck a little bit, not changing, and that's what makes it so wonderful.
So yeah,
kind of works.
And we know roaches will be here for hundreds of years. So.
You know, and that's wonderful that you say that, that it really was timeless, that you were doing this for the joy, the love of your craft. And you see so much of that craft in this book, whether it's the craft of writing haiku, the craft of design, fonts, the love of fonts, creating various fonts. It's just, you can tell a joy in the craft that you're using here. Let me ask you about the colors that you chose in the book. You had mentioned your original projects were talking about, you know, large print, newsprint, and then you wanted more color. There's not a lot of color in here. What created your decisions about the colors you used?
Anthony?
I think when Damon and Ness had first sent me some photos, again, like most people, they go right to the Mardi Gras colors.
Mm-hmm.
They go to the gritty streets, maybe black and white. And through conversation, we all kind of said, well, what are the colors that'll be stark? And here's the beauty of New Orleans, too. It's a dichotomy and a juxtaposition of rich and poor and old and young and new and dated. And so we thought, well, what would be stark? And the starkest color we could think of was a utility type yellow against a black. And of course, with the Saints being black and gold, that kind of worked without getting to the point of purple and green of Mardi Gras, because that's such a, you know, that's one season of the year, but the entire city has to be encapsulated for the entire year round. So that's kind of where we ended up without overdoing color.
And in fact, I just turned to that page, the W, which is "We bleed black and gold, champs after 43 years, no more bags on heads." Describe that photograph and design that you used to illustrate that.
Yeah, the shots there were actually shot the year, I can't remember what year that was, it was the year the Saints won the Super Bowl, and that was a regular season game at the Superdome, and Ness and I went out. Fans were tailgating. I think that was a Dallas Cowboys game, actually, that we lost. But anyways, so we just went out and kind of tailgated with the fans, and were able to get some pretty good portraits. And you know, it's not hard to find interesting characters in New Orleans, and especially at a Saints game. And Ness, I think, you know, a lot of it, you know, just like the writing and the design, the photography is kind of sometimes is less is more. And so in a lot of the designs, it's got a lot of negative space, and it's very clean and graphic.
Well, NW, of course, is for whodat. And that was
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of an interesting puzzle, too, because you're greeted first with Anthony's haiku, which doesn't really give away what that letter's going to be necessarily. And oftentimes you have to turn the page, and that's a lovely little surprise. Do you have people responding to that, the way you set that up?
Yeah, I've had people in Dallas call me and say, you know, I've read the book through. I mean, it's a coffee table book, so you're not reading it all day, every day. But
right.
They've read through it three times, and every time they find something different. And part of that is because they have to pause between the spreads when they're reading the haiku, and when they get there, they're like, all right, well, I know R is for roach, but every time I look at it, it just has that weird sense of design to it. And people just seem to find something different every time they turn the page. And that's, you know, that was a great byproduct, a happy accident, if you will, in terms of making it a puzzle to kind of keep you turning the pages, so to speak.
Right. Well, you mentioned some comments from people in Dallas. How have people in New Orleans responded to your work?
Damon, good question.
Yeah, we've had really positive response here, and we had a launch party whenever we did release the book when we published it. Had a good turnout, and people seem to enjoy it. And one of the common comments that I hear is kind of what you're just mentioning, that it has turned into this sort of puzzle page turner where they're reading the haiku and they're not sure exactly what it is, and they're guessing. Somebody had told me one night we were out and they were flying back to San Francisco to New Orleans and had a copy of the book and had actually passed it to a few fellow passengers, and they all kind of took turns guessing what these spreads were after they read the haiku. So I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. And you start thinking of your own words as well. And that's, I think, a really nice way to get people to think about their own love letters to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to tell people again, the book is Love Letters from New Orleans. My guests, Damon Gardner and Anthony Vacris by telephone, are part of this project along with the designer, Nessim Hickson. Damon was the photographer and Anthony Vacris, the writer, writing these lovely haiku throughout the book. As you mentioned, it is a coffee table book. I'm sure our listeners right now are wondering how they can get a copy of this book.
We are selling them online mm-hmm. at loveletters.nola.com. Mm-hmm. And we also have an iPad app that the digitized, if you will, version of the book that really gives some sight and sound to the spread. And I believe that's on, that's on iTunes at this point, available. And you can just search in the app window or the App Store window, Love Letters from New Orleans, and it'll come right up.
Right. And if any of your listeners are in New Orleans, we also have them in a few shops around town. And if you go to the Love Letters from NOLA website, there's a map that'll list the different stores that are carrying the book.
Okay. But if people do search Love Letters from New Orleans, most of these things will pop up as well, won't they? They'll find out where they're going.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. And also, I just wanted to mention one last thing, too. We published this book ourselves through Kickstarter. So that's how we were able to raise and generate the funds to publish. We did a run of 2,000 books. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of help from friends and people who believed in you.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. the cool thing about it, I think, is that it was definitely funded through just a lot of people and individual donations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One thing I was going to say real quick, I'm sorry. Is that a lot of discussion we had about the price and the cost in retail was, do we send it overseas and have it printed? Mm-hmm. And I think all of our gut reaction was no. Let's have the money that people have donated and trusted us with to stay in the market and stay in the city. So we went to Garrity Printing, mm-hmm. and then the digital part was done in conjunction with Epilogue, and it's just been a great, you know, native, local project that mm-hmm. everyone in the city can own.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just really reflective of that amazing youthful energy that all of us feel every time we go to New Orleans at this point. And this really is a love letter to all of those, the passions of a generation that has just fallen in love with New Orleans. And it's a great project. We're just about out of time here. Again, I want to thank Damon Gardner, Anthony Vacris for joining me by telephone. The designer, Nessim Hickson, is in Amsterdam, couldn't join us. But Love Letters from New Orleans, you can find out more on the web. Just search for it, and many different venues will come up. Well, Damon and Anthony, thank you for taking a moment to stop and talk with us today. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to your future collaborations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judith. It was our pleasure.